Real College Podcast is presented by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and is a production of Radio K.
You are listening to Real College Podcast, and I'm your host, Jacob. We're approaching Thanksgiving break, which means that food and family is a lot of what's on our minds right now. This week's episode is just that. We're going to talk Thanksgiving, what our traditions are, and the history of the holiday. All that and more on this week's episode of Real College Podcast, which starts right now. First up, we have Elizabeth Yost with our question of the week.
We all have an idea of what a typical Thanksgiving looks like. When you ask a group of students at the U what they're most excited about for the first break of the year, their answers tend to be pretty similar.
What are you most excited for about Thanksgiving break?
So I get to see my family after 3 months, which I'm really excited about, and also meet some of my friends that I haven't really talked to in a while, so I'm especially excited for that.
What are you most excited for over Thanksgiving break?
I think to see my family members, to see my dogs, and to eat food that's not from the dining hall.
What are you most excited for about Thanksgiving break?
I am also excited to see my family, even if it's only for like a few days, because I haven't been home at all yet. I've gotten to see them a little bit, but really nice to see them, going to my grandparents' house. And I mean, of course, we have like the Thanksgiving traditions and eating a lot of food and just having a good time. So that'll be nice.
What are you most excited for about Thanksgiving break?
Probably just spending time with family, being able to see extended family that I don't see that often, and then also probably pie.
All right. What are you most excited for about Thanksgiving break?
I'm excited to see my family and my dog. And I'm really excited to eat food and eat all the stuffing I can stuff into my face. Yeah.
You might have noticed a couple of major themes in these answers. Seeing family and eating specific kinds of food are important parts of Thanksgiving for a lot of us, but that's not true for everyone. Jake and our reporters take this episode to explore what Thanksgiving means to different people.
For most people, Thanksgiving is a time to head back home to celebrate. But for some students on campus, coming home for Thanksgiving has taken on a new meaning. Sophie Han has the story.
All right, I'm Hamoud Al-Bahari, and I'm from Oman. I'm originally from Oman. I live now in Dubai with my brother. I have a big family. I have 8 brothers, or 5 brothers and 3 sisters with my parents.
Family. Whether you love them or can't stand them, they're the hallmark of Thanksgiving tradition. However, this looks a little bit different for someone who is living in a completely different culture and has more than a few miles between them and their family. For Hamoud Al-Bahari, a first-year engineering student here at the University of Minnesota, family has taken on a bit of a different form and relation as he has traveled far from home in Dubai to become a student here at the university.
After I finished high school, I applied to get a scholarship from the government, and I was lucky and I got the scholarship, and now I'm here. I chose the University of Minnesota because it was one of the best universities I had on my list, because I got a list of universities in the US, and like I did my search on the universities through Google, and like I couldn't find a better university than University of Minnesota, so I chose the University of Minnesota.
High praise for the U aside, going far away from family and one's known surroundings is a big step, one that simultaneously includes family and excludes them as one moves away. In Hamoud's case, he and his family have been on both sides of the spectrum when it came to feelings on attending school here.
I always wanted to travel and like try new experiences in my life. So when I was in high school, I learned about the project that where students can get scholarships and go study wherever they want. So I started talking to my family and that I want to get a scholarship. They refused, but then I chose my own decision. It's one of the things my parents we're not like we're indecisive with it, with the decision that me going to travel and stay away from the family. But then like they got convinced, and since they like I was very it was very important for me to travel. So
beyond having had the opportunity to travel and receive an education at a university that he says ranks among the highest in the country and gives him the opportunity to experience snow, Hamoud is still very much connected to his roots back in both of his homes, with family living and working in Dubai and in Oman.
My parents are, my dad worked in the military and my mom is not working. I have two brothers working like in a big companies in Oman. They graduated doing mechanical engineering as I'm doing right now. And I have three sisters. One of them is in high school right now and two of them are working. Working as a teachers in Oman. Yeah, and one of my brothers is studying biology in Oman, and one of them, and the youngest one is still in school.
One might think that having his family live so far away would create intense homesickness. Homesickness that isn't easily cured as it is for most students, who can just drop by home whenever to see their parents.
Surprisingly, I don't miss my family that much. Because like I've been living by myself for almost two years, and it's been great.
It's been great, as commentary on living without your parents probably is not what they want to hear. For Hamoud, though, having lived in Minnesota for 2 years studying English and taking classes in order to get into the university, this is just normal life. He says that this transition period and time spent in the United States has been a great movement and bridge of the culture and schooling here. Although he says he has experienced a bit of culture shock, the tradition of gathering with loved ones over traditional dishes is a constant around the world.
We do have similar things to Thanksgiving there. So as Muslims, they have two Eids, if you know that. So what they do there, they gather there. We bring a lot of food, as you guys do here. The whole family would gather in one specific home, with my grandparents, and with all of my uncles will be there. So they would gather there, eat whatever is there, and discuss how the life is going with them. So it's basically the same as Thanksgiving, but it's not called Thanksgiving. All right, so we have a very spicy food, a very spicy barbecue, which is the best. And we also have a rice with beef and in sticks, and that's really delicious too. And we have a very also a dessert that the Omani people are popular for, which is really I think it's the best dessert I've ever had in my life. Yeah,
the best dessert he's ever had in his life. It's a pretty high bar, and one that I know I would look forward to every year. Unfortunately, that isn't quite the case for Hamoud this year. Since he's living here in Minnesota, so far from home, he'll have to stick around the city for the holiday.
I'm not able to go back home because it's like I'm now like 7,000 miles away from home. It's not worth it to go back home because the flight will take 24 hours. So you'll be on the air for 48 hours, in 6 days at holidays. It's just not worth it yet.
While definitely making the right call in not wanting to spend 48 hours of precious time off before finals just flying, this still sounds sad to have a student stuck on campus while everyone else goes home for break. Don't worry, though, mothers out there, because while Hamoud might not be spending Thanksgiving with his blood family, friend connections he's made while on campus will set him up with his own version of Thanksgiving.
Well, I will stay with my friends off campus. They have an apartment here. So what we're going to do there, we're going to have a turkey and we're going to cook together.
Cooking turkey together with one's friends sounds like just about the best Thanksgiving I can imagine. Through Hamoud's story, we can see one thing for sure. Home is home, as he so eloquently put it. It doesn't matter if you're in your actual childhood home in your hometown or with friends in a relatively new country. Coming home means going back and connecting with those who bring you happiness and fulfillment in your life, no matter how that may appear. Coming home means focusing on the people in your life, rather than focusing on the physical location. Coming home means different things for each of us around this time of year, but ultimately, it's the best part of Thanksgiving. For Real College Podcast, I'm Sophia Hahn.
We all think we know Thanksgiving pretty well, but how and why it became a national holiday is still somewhat unexpected. Liv Riggin spoke with a University of Minnesota assistant professor to learn more about what's behind Thanksgiving and why we celebrate it the way we do.
Working together with their new friends, the Indians, by the end of the season, they had an abundant harvest.
God, we thank you for our families and friends and for thy many blessings.
Amen to that.
Hi. We should do this every year.
Pilgrims, American Indians, a harvest, you can probably guess what the story is.
And so began the tradition of Thanksgiving.
The proverbial first Thanksgiving story. But like with most stories, there's more to it than that. Thanksgiving didn't become a national holiday until the middle of the 20th century. Definitely not a straight descent from the Pilgrims to us. So how did it become a holiday and why? I sat down with University of Minnesota Associate Professor of Food History Tracy Deutsch to find out more.
So there's not one story about Thanksgiving. There's many stories about it. The truth is that we actually know really very little about the first Thanksgiving. I'm doing air quotes here. Because we just don't have many written records about it. Puritans declared Thanksgivings periodically. Thanksgiving continued to be a sporadically celebrated holiday in New England. It wasn't associated with the nation until some New Englanders started a campaign to make it a national holiday. A woman named Sarah Josepha Hale ran a decades-long campaign to get presidents to declare a national day of Thanksgiving. And finally, Abraham Lincoln did.
Our fathers brought forth of this continent.
So he made it a day to promote national unity in the midst of the Civil War, when it was not clear that this would stay a united country. Congress didn't make it a national holiday until 1941, until World War II. It sort of rose to prominence, to political prominence, in wartime, because those were moments when the federal government wanted to reinforce a national identity and not just a local identity. The foods we associate with Thanksgiving and the way we think of celebrating it really emerged very strongly in the early 20th century.
So if our Thanksgiving traditions aren't handed down from the Pilgrims, where did they come from? And why did the holiday become so important in the early 20th century?
Because it became a really important mechanism for teaching people, school children, and particularly immigrant school children, how to be American. Many of my students, when I talk to them about Thanksgiving, will say, well, we don't eat regular Thanksgiving food. We eat, and then fill in the blank, all kinds of different foods. But what the holiday gave us is an idea of what counts as American food. The foods we think of as traditional Thanksgiving foods were also being encouraged as a way to eat healthy in the early 20th century. So plainer foods, foods that were associated with New England cuisine, those were parts of broader efforts by reformers in the early 20th century to teach immigrants how to eat healthy. Reform organizations would organize turkey giveaways, and that's why a lot of immigrant families learned how to make turkey and learned of that as an American food, even though what people had actually eaten on this holiday varied a lot. But that's when turkey became kind of iconic.
Turkey, a dish that adds grace to every table, a dish to be thankful for 365 days in the year.
It became a sort of vehicle for people to learn about American identity. And because of that, it was a way to construct American identity. One thing that was really important was that people learn that to be an American meant to associate your history with the history of the Puritans and the Pilgrims. That's when actually Pilgrims and Puritans came to be important parts of the Thanksgiving story. To be an American meant you somehow had to trace your history to Pilgrims. It meant that you recognized the existence of Native peoples, but also their friendship. So it was both an expression of like openness to other cultures, but their integration into a larger narrative about the supremacy of a New England heritage. Now, that notion was resisted for all kinds of reasons by all different groups of people.
Being able to identify with the original colonizers of the U.S. nonetheless became increasingly important over the course of the 20th century. It provided a story of exploration and assimilation, crucial to supporting both the total assimilation of immigrants to the U.S. and the U.S.'s increasing forays into imperialism.
This idea that the United States would be a sanctuary for people from other places emerged at the same time than the idea that the United States would itself expand its boundaries to include other places. Both came from this notion that the United States was a place that would integrate and assimilate other peoples. So that's when the United States began to intervene really directly in events in Panama. We established military presences and some kinds of political authority in the Philippines and throughout the Pacific, in Mexico. And some people were calling for the establishment of American colonies. It's no accident that a nationalist holiday seemed really resonant.
So those are some of the forces that contributed to creating the Thanksgiving holiday we know today. Mainly, it was a desire to create a holiday that would unify Americans. But rather than doing this by accepting difference, it was focused on erasing it. But just because that's one of the stories behind Thanksgiving doesn't mean that that's the meaning people celebrate. There's all kinds of ways to celebrate Thanksgiving, and there's all kinds of meanings to find in the holiday.
It was supposed to make everyone into Americans and to have people trace their heritage to the Puritans. Now, the one thing I want to say really clearly is that those were prescriptions. People bring their own meanings to Thanksgiving now, and they did the same thing in the past. Obviously, it took on very different meanings for people who didn't trace their history to the Puritans, which was most people. And families continue to bring their own meanings to the holiday. Thanksgiving can be a moment where families expand and include foods and peoples and ideas that they hadn't in the past. In fact, I think the fact that we know so little about what actually happened at the first Thanksgiving has made it this canvas for people to enact their own versions of who belongs in the United States, what the country's history is, and how we want to enter into that.
So in the end, it's really about what story you choose to tell. For Radio K's Real College Podcast, I'm Liv Riggins. To close out the show, we decided to have some of our reporters tell us about how their families celebrate Thanksgiving. First up, we have Veronica and Audrey, who interviewed each other about Thanksgiving.
Hi, I'm Veronica Valdez, and Audrey's going to help me go over what Thanksgiving looks like in my household, a Uruguayan household.
Describe your typical Thanksgiving.
My typical Thanksgiving is usually around like 30-ish people, and my family's Uruguayan, and we moved to the United States like 19 years ago, so we don't have any other family here to celebrate with. So we invite all our family friends. We're all kind of a South American friend group. And yeah, we just get together and we celebrate Thanksgiving in kind of a little bit of a different way. We still like to make American food just to enjoy that. That's something we started doing a little bit ago. But yeah, it's basically just like a big social gathering with extra food.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
My favorite Thanksgiving food, I forget what it's called. It's like that sweet potato thing with the marshmallows. I love that.
Do you have any favorite traditions for Thanksgiving that you celebrate every year?
I think that the tradition we do is just to get together. I like that we actually started trying to make American food. It definitely wasn't very successful at first, but it's fun now. it's fun to kind of have like a different like flavor of it. We're all kind of still speaking Spanish, but like doing more traditional Thanksgiving things.
What makes your Thanksgiving unique?
I think just the fact that it's so many different cultures that come because we don't have families. Our family friend group is Uruguayan, Colombian, Argentinian, Chilean, and we just have a lot of different cultures kind of come in and kind of experience how like Americans would typically celebrate Thanksgiving, but with our own twist.
How has your Thanksgiving changed over the years?
So before Thanksgiving, we really didn't know what to do. We just knew that we had to do something. So we would just have our friends over and kind of do like a normal, like we have a lot of like social events we like to do. And we would do normal Uruguayan food, like empanadas and different things. And we would just kind of have a normal, like regular party. But then we kind of realized that it was kind of a fun tradition that we could take advantage of. So we started doing things such as having a turkey, like eating pie. We even like decorate like Thanksgiving, which we used to not do. So just kind of like following the tradition, like the typical traditions a little bit more as we've been in the United States longer.
How do you decorate for Thanksgiving?
With like leaves. My mom gets really into it. She loves like Michaels and Home Goods. So like little turkeys everywhere. Yeah, it's really fun.
Do you have a favorite Thanksgiving memory?
I don't know. Just like when everyone is like getting ready to eat and we all get together and kind of like just being around my family and my whole family friend group. We're usually like not all together because there's so many of us. So yeah, just being around everyone is probably my favorite memory and just catching up.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Valdez for Radio K Real College Podcast.
Okay, so do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Audrey Kennedy. I'm 19 years old, and I'm a freshman at the University of Minnesota.
So how many people typically attend your Thanksgiving?
It's normally just my immediate family. So it's me, my mom and dad, and then my two brothers. And then occasionally we have grandparents from one side come over. So like this year we're having my grandma and grandpa on my dad's side. So it's normally about 5 to 7 people.
Have you ever celebrated Thanksgiving with friends, or is it always just a family event for you?
It's always just been a family event. Like, I can't even think about having a friend over for Thanksgiving because our holidays are always only family-oriented. Like, we've never had, like, a significant other over for Thanksgiving or anything. It's always just been our immediate family and then occasional grandparents.
So is Thanksgiving something you typically look forward to?
Sometimes. It depends. I'm looking forward to it this time because I haven't had my mom's sweet potato casserole in 2 years now. So I'm mostly looking forward to the food this time.
What's the food usually like and what's your favorite food there?
The food is very traditional Thanksgiving food. My mom normally goes all out and cooks everything. So it's just turkey, cranberry dip, green bean casserole. My favorite is her sweet potato casserole. It is the best thing in the world. We didn't have it last year because we ended up eating at a restaurant last year, and it was the worst part of my Thanksgiving, not having that.
Have you ever had what you'd describe as a Thanksgiving disaster happen?
Potentially last year. So for various reasons, my mom couldn't be in town for Thanksgiving. So we decided to go to a restaurant for Thanksgiving, which I would not recommend it. It's terrible. We went to a restaurant. The food was just disgusting compared to what my mom eats. The service was terrible. It was so overpriced. And it was just kind of sad going to a restaurant on Thanksgiving and seeing all the people there who like couldn't eat with their families. It was so depressing, but that's probably like the closest to a disaster we've ever had.
All right. And are there any traditions that your family does that are unique or special?
Ever since I can remember, my dad has always set up a video camera in the corner of our room wherever we're eating dinner, and he will record our entire Thanksgiving dinner from before we start eating to after we start eating. And I actually watched one of them a few weeks ago from when I was like 8, and it was crazy different and so weird to watch. And people were like, wait, your dad records Thanksgiving dinners? But it's something we're so used to now that like it doesn't seem weird to me.
So how has your Thanksgiving changed over the years?
I've moved a lot in my life. I've lived in 4 different places in the past 18 years. So I guess the thing that's changed most is just location. Because, like, our first Thanksgiving videos were taken in a tiny house in Wisconsin, and then they're in our big dining room in Texas, and we haven't actually had one in Minnesota yet, because last year we were eating at a restaurant. So the location, how we've, like, grown up and everything.
What's probably your favorite Thanksgiving you've had, or your favorite Thanksgiving memory?
One of our first Thanksgivings in whenever I had first moved to Texas. So we had to, like, kind of change everything that we do, like food-wise and just environmental-wise. But, like, even on that one day, we could still get together as a family and have a really nice meal, even after everything in our lives had changed.
Next up, we have Liv's Thanksgiving.
Son, help your mom with a ham.
Thank you.
Boy, that is the biggest ham. Let's hear it for Mrs. Sunset.
So there's the sounds of a stereotypical Thanksgiving, like from a Hallmark movie. Aunts, uncles, grandparents, kids, 3 or more generations at a massive table, like a Norman Rockwell painting. We're getting there. But that's something my family doesn't do. With one set of relatives in L.A. and the others in Illinois, but too old to travel much, it's just my mom, dad, brother, me, and our dog, Lucky. To me, though, it doesn't feel like any less special of an event. We plan the recipes weeks in advance and shop the meal days ahead. We make a carefully timed itinerary for the day of, when cooking starts at 6 or 7 a.m. and doesn't end until 2 or 3 p.m. There's stuffing, rolls, mashed potatoes, a full turkey, cranberry sauce, multiple pies, basically all the fixings you would have at that Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving, and in almost the same amounts. We take it all out to the dining room table, used only on Thanksgiving and Christmas, which always leads my dad to bring up his plans to replace it with a pool table. But for now, it's still a grand 10-person dining room table, which we lay with freshly ironed tablecloth, several candlesticks, my great-grandma Catalina's laced napkins, crystal glasses, also passed on from my mom's family's enormous trove of dishware, and our best silverware. We bring the dishes out one by one until the table's overflowing, and the rest gets set on the side table against the wall. Then the 4 of us sit down and start eating what's ultimately only a tiny portion of the bounty we've prepared. After that, it's a quick cleanup and then a walk. Usually we walk down to the coffee house my parents have owned and run for the last 25 years to make sure everything's in order. It's one of the 2 days the coffee house is closed, one of the 2 days my parents are off from work. But even then, they're never really off. My brother and I always come with, sometimes helping with the extra cleaning. Sometimes we keep walking after that to the woods on the northern edge of town. And that's most of our Thanksgiving. Usually there's some turkey stock made afterwards, a fire built in our old cast iron stove, maybe some napping. But for me, the holiday really ends after the walk. What I love about this routine is the contemplative feeling of it. It's almost solemn. The small town we live in is entirely quiet, no traffic, hardly any noise, and we're just walking around. It's a feeling of stillness and calm that I imagine Sundays were like back when they were considered religious holidays. It's a time out, a break from the rhythms of everyday life, and something we probably wouldn't have if there were 2 or 3 sets of extended family members visiting. For Radio K's Real College Podcast, I'm Liv Riggins.
For me, my Thanksgiving is really dependent on the year. My family's Puerto Rican, so some years our Thanksgiving looks like a traditional Thanksgiving. You've got the turkey, the gravy, cranberry sauce, and there's some Christmas music in the background.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
If it's up to my sisters, it's going to be Justin Bieber. But if it's up to me, it's going to be Michael Bublé. My stepdad will probably choose Frank Sinatra. But it'll all be in English. Other years, we lean in more to our Puerto Rican side, and this is immediately evident by the music that's playing. We eat pernil with arroz con gandules. Pernil is a pig's leg that my mom marinates in some amazing tasting concoction that I will never know how to make. My mom makes coquito and we are so loud and we joke around. Most of our immediate family is in Puerto Rico, so we spend the holiday with chosen family, those friends who share a similar culture and who have been around us for years. In all honesty, I wouldn't want to have it any other way. That is all for this week's episode of Real College Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. You can hear all our episodes at radiok.org/realcollegepodcast. You can also subscribe on iTunes. Real College Podcast is a production of Radio K. It's produced by Alex Schumacher, Emily Allen, and Liv Riggins. I'm your host and managing editor, Jake Maldonado Medina. Thanks for listening and tune in every Monday at 6:30 for more arts and culture coverage.